take away. You give and take away. One of the things we need to learn as Christians is that God does give and take away. And so if we don't utilize the gifts that he's given us, he'll take it away. Anybody knows that to be true? Amen. Let's go straight to the word. I don't want to take up more time than Pastor Frank allotted me. I do want to thank God for Pastor Frank. Can we thank God for Pastor Frank and his absence? I tell you, I met Pastor Frank when I came on board as executive director of Hartford City Mission, and him and I have done breakfast. We're friends. We have just become friends so quickly, and that's just what God does when he brings like-minded people together. Amen? I promise, even though I fooled around a little bit, I won't be before you long. I actually, when I leave here, have to... I won't say shoot down the highway, but get down the highway to Brantford, Connecticut. My daughter, some of you may have heard of her, Kimberly Joy, who was the season 15 of The Voice, NBC The Voice. She's being honored by a group in Brantford. And so I got to leave here and rush down there to be there for her. Amen? But just a proud, proud father. I'm blessed to have three wonderful children. Kimberly is our oldest. My middle child, my son Jonathan, is an orchestra conductor. And he is on his way Thanksgiving. He leaves on Thanksgiving Day. He's traveling to Kenya for the second year in a row to conduct the Nutcracker with their orchestra in combination with the some musicians from the Chicago Sinfonietta, where he serves as the assistant conductor there. And then my youngest child is completing her first semester, majoring in music theater. You see a theme there? Music runs in the family. And I sing a little bit, but my wife and my children sing a whole lot. And I'm just so grateful to God for what he has done. In Mark chapter 10, now remember our deal, Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 13 through 16. I'm not sure what your custom is here, but at Ebenezer, when the scripture is read, we usually stand. Okay, so if you would do that for me, I would appreciate it. You know, we would stand if some great politician walked in the door. Surely we should stand when we're reading God's word. Amen? I don't know anybody greater than the Lord. And they brought young children to him, verse 13, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children, allow the little children to come unto me. And don't stop them, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Amen? Just remain standing with me for a moment. I'm going to talk to you this morning from this theme, whatever you do, get them to Jesus. Whatever you do, get them to Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to stand before these, your wonderful people. I pray and I ask right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would take full control, and that Victor doesn't speak what Victor wants to speak, but that I would share what it is that you would have me to share with these your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen. Do me a favor, before you take your seat, turn to your neighbor, look them in the eye, and say, neighbor. Oh, come on, come on. Say, neighbor. Whatever you do, get them to Jesus. Turn to your other neighbor and look them in the eye and shake their hands because they look a little sleepy and say, neighbor, oh, neighbor. neighbor. Whatever you do, get them to Jesus. Now, as you take your seats, put your hands together and give God praise. Children of God, we are living in some very strange times. And I'm a walker, so if that's okay. If not, then forgive me. But we are living in some real tough times these days. We're living in times where it seems as though the world is moving backwards. We're shifting from a place of love back to a place of hatred. And I don't know about you, but I don't like that. Amen? And we're beginning to see all types of things happen. It seems as though it's true that history does repeat itself, but that's not the kind of history that we want to repeat itself. But what I'm saying to you is that now more than ever, it is important for the Church of Jesus Christ to come alive, to wake up, and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? No longer can we just be satisfied with fellowshipping in our own four walls and coming here Sunday after Sunday and getting the word and just enjoying it and saying, my, what a service, and go about our business. God has called us to leave these four walls to tell everyone that we come in contact with about Jesus. Amen? Amen? It's very interesting in Mark chapter 10 that Jesus... And because I'm getting older, I need my eyes. It's very interesting that in Mark chapter 10, Jesus addresses marriage. And more specifically, in the beginning, he's asked, when is divorce appropriate? And the Bible tells us that the question was asked not because they necessarily wanted the answer, but they wanted to try to trick Jesus. Have you ever encountered people who would ask you questions just because they wanted to trick you? They ask you questions, they already know the answer, but they just want to see what it is that you have to do. And it's interesting that Jesus addresses marriage and divorce in the beginning of this chapter, and then he addresses children. What that says to me is that families are important to Jesus. Amen? Families are important to Jesus, and it's powerful for me, and I think families are important particularly for children and particularly as it relates to education, because I believe that the home is the first place where a child begins to be educated. Amen? And what happens in the home will determine what happens when you send that child off to school. Amen? This sequence of events is really logical because many of the Jews of that day, they looked upon children as a blessing and not a burden. Repeat after me. Children are a blessing and not a burden. You need to remember that when they're having their temper tantrums. That children are a blessing and not a burden. Amen? You need to remember that when you do what I've done, or if you've already done it, write that check to college. Children are a blessing and not a burden. Amen? And I think we need to understand that, but how many know that sometimes our blessings get on our nerves? Uh-oh. I was going to say our spouse is a blessing, but then I don't want to say sometimes our spouse gets on our nerves. I don't want to say that. Children were viewed as a rich treasure from God and not a liability. In fact, to be without children back then brought a couple both sorrow and disgrace. I'm reminded of when my wife and I got married, and this past October we celebrated 33 years of marriage, thank God. I can't believe she put up with me for so long. But I never forget when we first got married, we did not have children for about 5 years in. And my mother-in-law was getting a little weary. She was like, come on, you know, it's time for some children. So we bought a cat. And we said, she's our baby. But there was this push because there was this belief that that you are supposed to have children. The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And so there was this expectation that you have children. And the Bible says, blessed is a man whose quiver is full. Amen? Oh, it's quiet. Okay. All right. I'll keep moving. But children are a blessing. It was also customary not only for them to have children, but it was customary for parents to bring their children to the rabbi so that the rabbi could bless them. Amen? This is sort of why we do, I don't know if you do it here at Calvary, but I know we do, they do baby blessings. They bring the baby to the priest or to the preacher or to the pastor, and we pray and bless them and do all kinds of things. This was customary because the thought process is that when you bless a child when they are young, hopefully that blessing will stay with them when they get older and they'll grow up to be a blessing. Amen? And Jesus welcomed all little children, all children. Jesus loved children. And so when they saw Jesus, they brought their children to Jesus, and Jesus loved that. And he loved them all, no matter whether they were infants or whether they were walking, running. Jesus loves children. Amen? Yes. Knowing that Jesus loved children and welcomed children, my question is, why is it that the disciples rebuked the people who brought their children and tried to keep the children from Jesus? Say, why is that? Let's try it again. Say, why is that? I'm glad you asked. I believe that the disciples thought that they were doing Jesus a favor by helping him protect protect his time and to conserve his strength by keeping the children away. Because we do know, anybody that has children or grandchildren, we know that children require a whole lot of energy. Am I right? Amen? They require a whole lot of energy. All of my children are older now, but after church, it never fails that after church, a couple of children will run up to my wife and I and say, "Can we come to your house?" And I'm behind her going, "No, no, no." And she's like, "Sure, come on over." And so the time that I thought I was going to have watching the game or letting the game watch me, I've got to watch children who are running around the house being, you know, those running days are kind of over. But children are very, but regardless of, so they thought they were doing Jesus a favor by protecting him. But what they really were doing when they tried to prevent the children from coming to Jesus is they were saying that children were not important. We have to be very careful, parents, by our actions, because a lot of times what we say and what we do is different. And we say we love children, but we act like we don't want to be around them. And we send a message to the children that they are not important. So the message that the disciples were sending was that children are not important. This attitude of the disciples seems strange because Jesus had already taught them to receive children in his name and to be careful not to cause children to stumble. In fact, Jesus says in our text that children were better kingdom examples than adults. We often tell children to act like adults, but Jesus tells the adults to model ourselves after children. Children are a good pattern to follow because of their humble dependence on others. One of the things that we do as adults when we don't want to be bothered with anybody is we say, "I don't need anyone." Amen? Amen? God bless you. I just found out about a week ago that we're hosting Thanksgiving. And so I was on the ladder fixing some of those things that I should have fixed a long time ago. And my wife says, "Do you need any help?" "I don't need any help. I got it." Until I fell off the ladder. I don't need your help. We feel like, but children are humble. They depend on others. Children are very receptive. And for their acceptance of themselves and for their very acceptance of their position in life, children are satisfied with where they are. Amen? They are satisfied. I remember, you know, my brothers and sisters, because there's eight of us, and we were talking, and my older brother said, "Well, we grew up poor." And I said, "I didn't know that, because I never saw what poor looked like. I thought we were doing pretty good. because there was always food on the table. I had to wear some of my brother's hand-me-downs, amen. My mom tried to get me to wear some of my sister's clothes. I wouldn't do that. But, you know, children don't really have a care in the world. You know, they're comfortable because they are resting in their parents to take care of them. We enter God's kingdom by faith. Amen? Children live by faith. And by faith, they accept where they are, trusting their parents to care for them. We enter God's kingdom by faith like little children. We were helpless. How many of you were helpless when you came to Jesus? We were unable to save ourselves. How many of you are unable to save yourselves? Everybody's hand should be up now. We were totally dependent on the mercy and grace of God. And I tell you, I'm dependent today on the mercy and grace of God. We enjoy God's kingdom by faith, believing that the Father loves us and that he will take care of our every need. Amen? God wants us to be childlike, but he doesn't want us to be childish. You see the difference? You see the difference? He wants us to come to him humbly as children. He wants us to be open to him humbly as children. He wants us to serve others humbly as children, but he doesn't want us to act like children. In fact, he wants us to grow up. Do me a favor, turn to the person next to you and tell them, grow up. Now, some of you are very happy that you're seated next to the person you're seated to this morning because you've always wanted to tell them that. But just in case you're not, turn to the other person and tell them, grow up. When are we going to grow up as a church and let this be about Jesus? Why does everything have to be about us? Why do we always have to be the center of attention? Why? 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 Grow up. But now, before we criticize the disciples for keeping the children from Jesus, we need to understand that in some ways we are just like the disciples. We keep our children away from Jesus when we don't start each day off with them in prayer before we send them off to school. We keep our children away from Jesus when we allow them to decide to skip Sunday school or to skip church. We keep our children away from Jesus when we allow our children to watch anything on the television and listen to any kind of music. We're keeping our children from Jesus. We keep our children away from Jesus when we don't practice what a Christian home looks like. Say ouch. There are many systems that keep the children we serve at Hartford City Mission from Jesus. Many of them are living in home environments where Christ is not present, and this keeps them from Jesus. Many of the children are living in families who do not know Jesus and won't attend church to even find out about him, and this keeps them from Jesus. They're living in neighborhoods with high crime and so much poverty that they can't even see God. We're allowing prayer and the mention of Jesus to remain absent from their schools, which is keeping them from Jesus. When we do not share the gospel with these children, we are keeping them away from Jesus. When we do not reach outside of our own comfort zones and our own homes and our own communities to tell others about Jesus, we are keeping people from Jesus. Amen? You're keeping people from Jesus when you go to the supermarket and you check out through the automatic checkout instead of standing in the long line where people are complaining and you can tell them about Jesus. Because we're in too much of a hurry to get nowhere and we're missing out on some great opportunities. I love going to the supermarket and I find the longest line and I get behind it and I hear people complaining and I go, yeah, but I remember when I couldn't buy this food. I remember when I couldn't afford to do this. I remember when I wasn't able to feed my children. I remember when all I could do was receive things, but God has been good. We need to let people know that there is a better way, that we serve a God who is amazing, that we serve a God who meets all of our needs. We serve a God who can do anything but fail. We need to let people know that, but it's hard for us to convince people to come to Jesus when we come with our prune faces. We won't smile. We won't speak. We won't do anything. And people are saying, if that's Jesus, I'll stay where I am. We need to be his representatives. We are his hands. We are his feet. He is depending on us to get the word out that Jesus still saves. How many knows that? That Jesus still heals. How many know that? That Jesus still delivers. How many know that? That Jesus is the one. Amen. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And I got news. He's coming back. How many know he's coming back? He's coming back again. He's coming back again, but he's depending on us. He's looking to us. He's trusting us to get the word out that Jesus saves. Every day at Hartford City Mission, we are instilling in the lives of those children who Jesus is. And as a result of the work that we're doing at our summer camp, 15 children accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Come on, praise God. At our away camp, another 20 children accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Come on, every day, Christ is being made real in the lives of these children. And the wonderful thing about it is that they're taking the message home to their household, and their parents are now being challenged to look in the Bible, to read the Bible, as children are pushing them and moving them forward to share the love of Jesus. God is calling us, the church, to do whatever we have to do to lead people to Jesus. Amen. Do whatever we have to do to lead people to Jesus. Amen. When I'm golfing, Lord have mercy, and sometimes the ball doesn't go where I tell it to go. Lord have mercy. And it ends up in the woods. I don't know how it got there. And my golfing buddies are saying, oh man, you really missed that one. I say, yeah, but God is good because he allows us to get into messes, but then he helps us to get out of them. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I got out the fairway, but my next shot got me back in the fairway. And there's a lot of people that have gotten off the fairway, and God is calling the church to help people get back on the fairway. We have an obligation. As Christians, we have an obligation. And when we come in here today, and when you go to your jobs on tomorrow, and people ask, how was your weekend? Don't talk about the Giants losing. They expect that. Now I'm going to get in trouble. Don't talk about the Patriots losing to my Cowboys. We expect that. Amen. But tell them what a wonderful time you had in church, and this fat black preacher with a bow tie encouraged you to share Jesus and the love of God with everyone you meet. Now, not only do we share him with our mouths, but we must share him with our actions. We must show love wherever we go. Amen. We must help those, amen, who need help. We must be willing to roll up our sleeves and do whatever we need to do to lead people to Jesus. This Thanksgiving, and for the past 5 years, we've done this. This Thanksgiving, and for 5 years, we made a decision that we were going to carve out some time at Ebenezer from our own personal Thanksgiving, and that we were going to host a big Thanksgiving Day dinner at the church. We first started 5 years ago. We fed 50 people. Last year, we fed over 250 people. This year, it's our goal to feed 500 people. But not only are we trying to feed them physically, but we want to feed them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the gospel that changes lives. Amen? Amen? It is the gospel that changed my life. How about you? Amen? Amen. Somebody shared Jesus with me, and I made a decision to accept him as my personal Savior. And now I say to you today, Calvary, whatever you do, wherever you go, wherever you are, lead people to Jesus. God bless you. Amen.